I'm sorry, I didn't talk to you.
Okay. Can you hear me okay, Steve? Because we're being recorded.
Yes.
So if you can't.
Yes, I can. Thank you.
I'm so glad you're here. And you guys, we're recording the show. It's Thursday morning. He's becoming my friend. And he's so. And I asked him just a minute ago, and you're going to understand that, but this guy is amazing. He has his own healing journey and out of his own, I guess, your own spiritual journey. Your dream is to help other people find their dream, their passion, and you do it through travel. So, and just traveling. Share with everybody about your work. I am impressed and that's just from Sean. Yeah. Why I'm saying that is pretty good. Share with us what you are about, okay? Because yeah, I'm excited.
Turi, I'm terribly sorry, but the connection is still intermittent. I don't know what to do.
Oh, no worries. Let me see if I can help. It's all good. We'll make it work. And sometimes the studios are like that, you know what I'm saying? So, and if I have to, I will call you right back. And I'll do it, just pull you on like that. Can you hear me now? Is this better?
Yeah, let me just see if I put my headphones on.
Okay. All right. And you guys, listen, this happens in studio time, radio time. But just hang in there, those who are listening in later, and we'll get it straight. Too, because he's going to put his headphones on, and I'm out here chatting with him. And you guys, he's got an incredible story, and it's just a real honor and privilege to have him here. Steve, do you have your headset on?
I do, and I can hear you better now. I'm ready to fly.
Okay, good. So, by the way, I told you this yesterday or the day before. You have a great radio voice, so there is a home for you here at Angel Coaches if you want to talk. So, it's all good.
Thank you.
You betcha. So tell us about your the name of your website and what you do is Journey Different, and you really plug people into traveling, but it's different than just regular traveling. And you say it so well in one of your quotes, so share with us what you do, because I'm excited about it.
Well, I am so touched and inspired when I go to different places that are totally new to me and open me up to something new, a new experience and a deeper, richer experience. So that feeling inspired is something that I love to share with people that I care about. And that really was the inspiration for my finding a way to marry my passions, which are spirituality and travel, among a few other things, but those were top on my list. So I started this several years ago as a way for me to marry these two loves of mine. And now that I have an opportunity to be touched by teachers and healers that are on the cutting edge of consciousness expansion, it's my love to connect them with other people who are hungry for that same thing.
Wow. So that I like that, and I know that you've met healers and teachers all over the world, and you're on your own healing journey. And so when people come to you, do they say, okay, I got referred to you by, or I heard your story? How do they find you? Do they just find you because of, it's a vibration thing, which I do agree with? And tell us some of the places you've been. And John of God, I know, and I know you're getting ready to go to Peru too at the end of this month. And I know you're doing a lot, you've went a lot of different places, but share with us some of the healers you've met and how people find you. That would be cool.
Well, a lot of it is, as you said earlier, Turi, that it's vibrational. People are drawn to what they want to learn and what they're intentional about connecting with in their life. And a lot of it's word of mouth. I do have the website, but honestly, most of the people come to me by word of mouth. And as you said, John of God journeys are a big part of what I do and has been integral in my own consciousness expansion. It really awakened me to the presence of divine energy in our life and what it can look like in a real physical way rather than it being just an idea. And some of the other places that I have gone that have been really meaningful for me, there is an amazing retreat resort north of Puerto Vallarta, right on the ocean. It's called Haramara, and it's really well known in yoga communities, but not so much in the New Thought community. Done
okay.
A couple retreats there, and it is just magical. This place was so intentionally created. The woman who started it is a student of Osho, and she decided that she wanted to find a place that spoke to her heart. So she traveled around for quite a while before she found this piece of land, which happened to be on indigenous people's land in Mexico. And she spoke to the chief, asked for permission to build a resort on this amazing piece of land that spills down to the ocean. And anywhere you are on this property, you can hear the waves crashing. It's just magical. And she set up a tent and she meditated for a year before she decided to do anything with the land, so that she was having communion with the land and having it tell her what it wanted to have built on it. So she connected with an architect who was ecologically minded, and they visioned this place that they built, and it's truly a magical place to be. They don't use electricity in most of the palapas. They're beautifully free-flowing, very open. They have tiki torches that light all of the pathways through the property at night, so it's very romantic. But they also have hurricane lamps that they light each night so that you have this low, really yummy lighting when you come back to your home and relax for the evening. It's a great place to spend a week, and I've done a number of retreats there. I've also, probably one of the most exotic and surprising to most people, and it certainly was to me, was Uzbekistan.
I read about that this morning on your site, I think, and I was like, wow, that does sound like fun and amazing. The one without electricity, too, I was like, that sounds great, too. But that one, I was like, oh, I got to sign up for that one. So share with us about it, because, and I have questions about some of the people that went, some of the stories that you've seen with people, you know, so, but share with us, please. I want to hear about that one.
I'm excited to get to that also. Uzbekistan was actually the brainchild of two Center for Spiritual Living ministers who, along with their love of that philosophy, are also Sufis. And for anybody who isn't familiar with Sufism, that is the high consciousness of Islam. So people who practice Islam, if you know Rumi, the poet, or Hafiz, would know the type of heart that they live in. They're very innocent and love focused, and they have a teacher who they connect with on a regular basis, and both of them wanted to travel to the birthplace of Sufism, which happens to be in modern day Uzbekistan. So we put this itinerary together, which was a 2-week journey throughout the land, and we stopped at mausoleums and mosques and temples that were all dedicated to Sufi saints. And we had an opportunity to be in session with the imams, which is a very rare thing for Westerners to have that opportunity. Just to be in a quiet space and to have their time was magical. And they talked to us about their daily practice, because it was really about deepening our own daily spiritual practice so that we could take some of the innocence and the sweetness and the aliveness that they practice and want to nurture in their own lives. We wanted to bring that back and practice in our own lives as well. So we had this peek into Islam that was so different than what we hear about in our news. Uzbekistan has outlawed the burqa, so they're not typical Islam at all. It is their state religion, so they're required to be Muslims, but they practice Sufism, which is causing these people to be innocent and loving and generous and really
right.
sweet. Everywhere we went, they were just so curious about us, and not in a creepy way. They were really loving, and we had wonderful laughing conversations with them where we didn't really understand them very much, but we were able to make ourselves known because a smile and a hug and a kiss on the cheek does that.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing.
It was so beautiful. They would meet us with their hand on their heart and bow, and everybody in the streets were that way. It was just amazing for all of us. We were in awe.
That's wonderful. Because I read, you know, Rumi, you start on this journey, and I think everybody, or I say everybody, a lot of people, you know, tap into Rumi because his work is amazing and what he writes. And I say amazing, but there's no really word to describe it sometimes. My question to you is, you said you yourself have had some amazing experiences with some of the healing journeys, because I want to hear about more of them. But you said something a second ago, you really expand your consciousness. My question to you is, as a person that's been seeking and your passion is travel and helping others find their passion through travel and spiritual awakening to combine it together, is expanding your consciousness a true way to heal the mind, body, and spirit? Okay, the body's the toughest one, I think, because it's the most dense energy. But what are your thoughts on that? Because these travels and these journeys expand your consciousness. What do you think?
Well, my experience, and I started my whole adult career has been related to travel. So I've come by this from a long list of different experiences, all related to travel, from corporate meeting and incentive planning and conventions and group movements. And I got to see when people left home and went on a journey, they tended to revert to an almost innocent openness and playfulness. They had a group leader who they were trusting to lead them and to take care of them for that time. So they tended to be more open anyway. And these were people that were going on a spiritually focused journey. I just noticed that they tended to be a lot more playful and open when they were away from home and in a different environment with somebody who was there, and their task was to take care of them, to nurture and protect them, and encourage their curiosity and sense of discovery in this new place that they were in to get the most out of the experience. So that caused me to start thinking about that as a perfect place for people to naturally start to be curious and discover. So when I chose to stir in the spiritual aspect of it, I wanted to use this natural thing that happened on a journey away from home. And I found that people do start the whole experience, especially when the spiritual intention is set to start with. They're open to things start moving and happening in their lives even before they step on the plane. So we found that because we know that's what's happening, and because spirit isn't limited by time and space, that the healing and the growth starts happening weeks before. And we have group calls so that we can get the group together to start feeling connection and community and start expressing and supporting each other in the things and the movements that are starting to happen in their lives just because they committed to their own growth. And it was a magical thing to experience and just find ways to support. So I have absolutely experienced when people make that commitment to themselves and their own growth, that they from that moment start seeing things shifting, and without the context of that whole healing and consciousness expansion conversation going on, it's just confusion for them. But we've helped them to understand that that's just part of the journey, and it does happen. Things start happening in their lives and shifting, and healing start happening. And you probably know from your own experience, Terry, that doesn't always mean that it's comfortable.
Oh, no.
Sometimes the shifts that happen when we're healing, there's discomfort in it, and sometimes there's a little bit of pain too. But when you have somebody who's already gone through that journey and can be a guide for you and just know, let you know that what's happening is okay, and to relax into it, it takes the fear and the struggle out of the process so that you can just flow with it.
I agree with you on that. I just got someone call me because I'd recommended, start reading the Course in Miracles. And so she slammed the phone down and said, this is really the Course in Miracles. I was like, oh, great, it's working.
Oh, how funny. You know, that was actually one of my very first texts that I really digested. I love the Course in Miracles and all the things that it has spawned since then. Because it
right.
has really touched and inspired a lot of teachers. It's got great work. I love it.
I love the Course in Miracles. A curse, it's funny. But you're right. Spiritual work, if it's pleasant all the time, it's probably not the right work for you. So I get
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Well, it's designed to strengthen us. And even when we're going to the gym, there's a lot of stuff when we're building muscle, physical muscle, it's work. And
yeah,
I found
right.
that it doesn't have to be struggle when we're growing, but there's oftentimes when we're building strength in our emotional, mental, spiritual muscle, it causes us to bring the best to our game. And that always, you know, that isn't always an easy thing.
I agree with you on that. You know, people ask you, I know at the gym, because I'm a runner and I work out all the time, but people say, does this get easier? No, you just get stronger, and you build endurance, and that's really what it's about. And I think that's true with
yes.
the spiritual, physical. I get you. You have
Absolutely.
Had some great teachers. Yeah. You've had some great teachers that you've on your journeys. Can you mention a couple that have really, I know they probably have all inspired you, but ones that really have made a difference that you remember right off the bat? So, and why, you know, too, as well. I want to hear that one.
Yes, I have been blessed with a lot of really inspiring, fun teachers. Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, who is lovingly called Pandaji by his students, is the founder of, what is the name of it? Art of Living Foundation. He discovered in his own education early on, or he rediscovered this ancient art of Kriya Yoga, which is centered around breath, and how
right.
it helps to move energy in our system, in our physical system, so that we can move blocks, but we can also help this whole large body of humanity process energetic things that are happening for us on a global level. So the breath work, he introduced me to that. And the local community in South Florida was a really supportive and loving place for me to be in to start learning about energy and how important breath work is in that. And then when I started opening to metaphysics, and how valuable that is in mental training and growing faith in something that was a positive force in my life, a
right.
power, a positive power in my life. I connected with a number of teachers through the what was known as religious science at the time, but since been renamed Centers for Spiritual Living. And Dr. Arlene Bump, Dr. Jim Lockard, Dr. Ken Gordon, who is the current president of that movement, or the spiritual leader of that international movement.
Right.
Dr. David Walker, Dr. Kennedy Schultz. There are a number of living teachers in that movement now that inspire me greatly also, but those are some who were in my early development. And Greg Braden recently.
I love Greg Braden. Yeah, books.
Marianne.
Book.
Yeah, for sure. Marianne Williamson has inspired me a great deal. I've enjoyed going to a lot of her live presentations whenever she's been in South Florida. Dr. E. Haleakala Hulen, who was part of the reason why Ho'oponopono is so well known now. I had the great fortune to be able to spend some time with him and to learn with him, and that's inspired my own growth quite a bit. And then most recently, Marion Beezer, who is someone who chooses to fly under the radar. So you would probably never find her by Googling her. She isn't on any search engines because she chooses for it to be that way. But she has been a wonderful teacher for me and has been hugely beneficial for my physical health as well as my spiritual understanding.
I hear you on that. So you've got, I know your physical body, you've had some real, just like big jumps with that, you know, and people, a lot of us have illnesses or dis-ease, and I don't want to really talk about it right now because I don't think I'm supposed to, because I know you're going through a big change with it. And I'm just getting that now, unless you want to talk about it. I have no issue with that. But what's going on with you physically right now? Is that okay if I ask it that way? And you can say as much as you want or as little as you want, or say, Tree, move on. I can do that too. It's all good.
You are just such a gifted host.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would like to share a little bit, maybe not so much about what is still unfolding now, but something that's coming up for me that I feel is important to share is that my relationship with my physical body started out to be a really tumultuous one. When I started this incarnation, it wasn't even clear when I was first born whether I was male or female. So
wow.
I had to be DNA tested so that my parents and the doctor could make a determination about how I should be raised, whether I should be raised gender specifically as a male or a female. And they chose for me to be a male based on that printout. But I started out by staying in the hospital for a couple of weeks with my family being at a distance. So it was a scary and uncomfortable way to start. But it
right.
really made me dive into myself deeply and try and make sense of all of this. So starting at a very early age, just the whole question of my gender is something that I couldn't take for granted. I had to really be connected with my inner world to understand where my guidance should be coming from and who I am, because it couldn't be based on what was happening for me physically. I
wow.
had lots of surgeries around all of that, and I'm happy to say that I'm a healthy, normally functioning male now. But I'm a gay male as well, so I have this wonderful mixture of masculine and feminine energies that I have learned to embrace and really appreciate. And that's been a journey in itself.
Right.
Wow. What you were alluding to has to do with the HIV status that I tested positive for 20 years ago. And at that point, the condition of that whole conversation was really that there wasn't very much hope for long-term health and quality of life. So when I was first diagnosed, the doctor that I spoke with told me to just start to get my affairs in order because there really wasn't much hope that I would be living for very long. So
right.
I left that whole experience in shock, and it's like I just said yes to this huge bucket of fear that was plopped on top of me, and I was walking around with that trying to balance it, to get out from under it, to try and live my life with this 50-ton bucket of fear on top of me, and it was tremendous. So
Right. That is
what was my impetus for opening my consciousness to something else. I wanted to find some spiritual community that was going to give me some hope and a different way to look at this. So that's when I was introduced to religious science and the Center for Spiritual Living Philosophy, which was the only place that I was getting any kind of hope that, yes, I could not only live with this, but I could choose whatever I wanted it to be in my life, including healing it. So I embraced that wholeheartedly, and I chose to, because I was so inspired by some of the early speakers and teachers that I was connected with, I chose to go through the ministerial training program to be licensed and then to do my 7-year practicum to be ordained and to start teaching that same sense of infinite possibility to other people. And that's part of what I do on my journeys.
That I really like what you're saying. You've touched my heart so much. I was sitting there going, wow, tell me more, right? And I was like, oh, wait a minute, tell everybody else more. I forget. For interview, radio interview. That's all good. Let me ask you this, too, as well. John of God, you know, you and I have a mutual friend, Ernie. He's a character. I just love him. But he talks about John of God. I know you've taken one of your journeys and with your people and everything has been to John of God. Has he inspired you? I don't know. I'm going to go with you guys in 2015, I guess, the spring, summer, whatever. So Ernie was telling me about it yesterday, and you had mentioned it as well. I love to go to Mitsubishi, too, by the way. So I wanted to ask you about that before we close the show. Did he inspire you, or Ernie tells me all these aha moments and these people, like, getting up out of the wheelchair and walking and, you know, and all this kind of stuff. I think it's amazing. So what do you feel about that?
What's my word. Yes. And, you know, Ernie is such a gift. He and I were in second year class together. He had relocated from the Northeast to South Florida, and I was fortunate enough to be in the class with him. And the first night that we started the second year together, we were paired up with somebody else, and he happened to be the students in that class that I was paired up with, and I still remember the conversation that we had. He was an eye-opener for me from the very beginning, and he has been quite a teacher and just a tremendous friend to me, as he is to almost everybody that is drawn to his life. He's the one who had an amazing healing
going
to Brazil and visiting with John of God, I think 12 years ago. I mean, he's been going for a long while. And he was so inspired by what happened to him that he couldn't wait to tell everybody. So he started talking to me early on after returning from that journey. And it took a little while before I was comfortable enough going. But I, at that point, was pretty comfortable in my metaphysical teaching. And I was curious about John of God and this spiritism that was being practiced there, but I wasn't totally convinced that it was going to do anything for me. So I went with curiosity. I really wanted to see what was happening. And my first visit there, first of all, just the mass numbers of people that are going through that compound when he is in session He's in session two times a day, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of every week, week in and week out, and he's been doing this for, I think, almost 50 years. I mean, he is such a dedicated healer and teacher. Somebody who has that kind of commitment to what he's doing is immensely inspiring to start with. But he's really
right.
given his whole life to this. And he does it in a way that is so pure and beautiful. He doesn't request money from anybody for any of the work that happens at his casa. And it's the Casa de Dom Ignacio or St. Ignatius. It's devoted to the work and the spirit of St. Ignatius, who was his patron saint, I believe, and probably one of the first entities that channels through him. So for those who aren't familiar with John of God or his work, you can Google him and find pages and pages of stuff. It's both pro and con, but my own experience has been one that's very positive. I went and saw at least 500 people each session moving through the line to have a couple minutes with him. And to just be in the experience of infinite possibility. And the things that I have seen are so otherworldly that you can't help but come away being changed from just being in that environment. He regularly does eye scrapings with just a paring knife and blessed water. There's no physical anesthetic. It's all done with spiritual anesthetic that people actually experience as just as completely and numbing as if you had a shot of Novocaine.
That's amazing. Wow.
Totally. Yeah. There was an ophthalmologist who had come to visit, and he has now become a very devoted guide, bringing other people there. But he's an American doctor, and he was asked, because John of God often invites doctors who may be in the crowd to come up on stage where he's doing these surgeries and just watch. So he was able to see the implements that were being used, the kind of experience that the patients, if you want to use that word, who had said yes to a physical intervention, were having. And he said that it was his experience as a Western medicine doctor that there's no way that you could even get close to someone's eye with a paring knife without them flinching and making it impossible to do anything, that you could actually scrape the surface of their eye, which is so sensitive, and just, you know how painful it is to get just a speck of dust in your eye, but to think of having the sharp point of a knife on the surface
right.
of your eye, scraping it, and being able to experience that without pain was just miraculous to this doctor and to everybody else who watches it. So he does this regularly, and he does it to remove cataracts, but he also does it to even out the surface of the eye so that he can remove astigmatism. So people will leave from that experience with just a rag on their eye or a patch of gauze that's been soaked in blessed water, and they keep that on their eye with their eyes closed for 24 hours, I guess, maybe, or maybe 48, and then they're back so that they can have the next step of their healing, which generally is just to check it and make sure that it's healing properly. But it's miraculous to see what happens with no antiseptic being used, no oral medications other than the passiflora or the passion flower herbal capsules that you get from the pharmacy there that are energetically encoded for each person based on the healing that they came to get. So
that's
just
amazing
one of
what
the
you're
things.
Telling me.
To watch people have tumors removed, and there's this one thing that he does, Teresa, is just every time I watch it, it amazes me. He has forceps, but probably the blade or the point of it may be, I don't know, 10 inches long. And, you know, with forceps, generally, there's some locking mechanism in the handle of it so that you put gauze in the end and lock it so that you can use it to swab out an area. And John of God will put a ball of cotton in it and close it, and he'll put it up someone's nostril and shove it so it's all the way up into their nasal cavity, up to the holes where you put your finger in the handle. So you know, 10 inches into your nose, you know it's going into a place that would just knock you out if it wasn't spiritually ordained that this is happening.
Sure.
And he will remove that generally with almost no blood and no pain. And it, all of these physical things, he's really clear to let people know don't have to happen, that they're only done to help people deepen their faith, that things that you think are impossible can actually happen without ending your life or without pain. So people come there and have their conditions cleared energetically, but the physical things are not necessary. They're only done to help us deepen our faith.
Well, when I'm listening to tell you that story about the nostril and the pointy thing, if I were next to mine, I'd be going, I'm better now. I feel so much better. I will see you later.
Just by watching somebody else have it done.
Yeah, I was like, excuse me, gotta go. Feel better.
Right.
My face
is
deep. I was sitting there going, wow, okay, I get it. All right, I get it. So, but you were saying something, sorry, forgive me. But yeah, that'd be kind of cool, huh? You know, but sinuses are an issue or anything like that. I know Ernie got a tumor removed too as well, but you were going to say something, Steve. I'm so sorry. What were you going to say there?
Yeah, the real important thing that's happening there is called current. And the compound is set up so that there's a large room that's kind of a holding room where there are talks going on, prayers being spoken, but just bringing people's focus into what's happening there, which is all about relaxing into the power of this nurturing spirit that is always with us, but it is a benevolent force, a power in our life that we can tap into anytime we want to. This current then is actually flowing very powerfully through people who volunteer their time to sit in meditation in other parts of compound that people who come there for healing will walk through before they actually see medium John of God. So the rooms where people are sitting with their eyes closed and meditating for hours, they are contributing their consciousness to this tremendously powerful power moving through them and to be amplified, almost as if, you know how when you shine a light through a crystal, it often amplifies and focuses it?
Yeah.
Have you experienced that? Okay.
Yes,
so
I have.
So it's almost like these people who volunteer their time to sit in current choose to act like a crystal, to be totally clear and present to the power moving through them so that it can be focused and amplified for healing. And they know that they are going to be sitting there in silence with their eyes closed to open to this power for hours.
Wow.
And it, having done that, I can tell you it's like putting your finger in a light socket, an electrical outlet, without being shocked, but just having the power move through you, it's that tangible and that strong. But it
wow.
just lights your whole physical being up. And I feel like when I'm sitting in current, that every one of my cells is vibrating at a higher frequency. And that's just so delicious that in itself is inspiring and draws me just to sit there and enjoy it. So that's where most of the healing happens, really. So people can go and just sit in current and have that energy move through them and heal and not need to go make a request, because just the intention of being there in that power is consciousness expanding and frequency raising. And
amazing.
As you probably know, all healing is upping your, and it happens because you're upping the amount of energy that's moving through your body. And
right.
When Dr. David Hawkins, who wrote Power versus Force,
right.
and a number of other
that's
books.
That's one of the best book I've ever read, that one right there. One
yes.
of the
yes. Yes. It has inspired a lot of kinesiology practitioners, which I love, and I have a really good one here in South Florida that I depend on a lot. But
right.
Anyway, that he speaks about the band of frequencies and how he was able to discern them and put a number figure to them. And it's
right.
so interesting to see that graph that he's created, how the different emotions that we feel throughout our lives, how some of them we feel as very intense, but sometimes they're not that pleasant. And some things that are like depression or fear or sorrow or hopelessness, they all are very low frequencies that fall below the midway band of 500 on his scale. And
right.
once you hit that 500, which I think is the threshold where you start feeling loved, everything below
right.
that is a stepping stone or a step up to a higher frequency. And he talks about how all of these frequencies above the 500 level are just sweeter and more powerful. So when he's put into physical form this thing that we feel very strongly and can discern in our own bodies, how sweet the energy and the frequencies can be in our lives when we are in a constructive state emotionally and mentally and spiritually. And
right.
going to the causa and being in that community of John of God has given me that experience of a really powerful expression of those high frequencies. And
you know what, Steve? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, because I want you to finish, because we're going to cut this off.
Okay.
I could listen to you forever. So go, but tell me, you finished that, because I was like, I'm going to have you back, all right? So you just have to promise to come back, but tell us what you're going to say.
I would love to. Thank you. I'd love talking mm-hmm. with you. So it gave me, it's like when you go to a restaurant and you taste a dessert for the first time, and it is such a powerful experience that you know no other chocolate cake is going to work anymore because you've tasted the masterpiece. And it's the same sort of thing with energy. When I felt a high frequency that I may have not felt before, I now know something new that I may not have a real clear idea about how to get back to, but because I've been open to it, I want it, and I want to do whatever I need to get that again.
Make it happen.
So this experience of John of God has done that for me on so many levels. I now have a much sweeter relationship with the spirit world, and I know that it is a very tangible and live thing that is part of my daily life, and I can depend on it to support my intentions. And I know that when I ask for something now, that I'm going to get it. And I have to add a caveat to that conversation. I don't want to make anybody think that it is it's always simple and easy, because it isn't.
Oh,
I go through
no,
the same doubts and frustrating patches when I have experienced something and expect it simple and clear the next time, and it's not. I go through the same cycle of disappointments and frustration that I have in the past and that I've heard other people talk about. So I am not trying to paint the experience at the CASA, where John of God works, as a paradise where everything works constantly and it's always easy, because it's not. It's just been one of the great places that I have discovered that has helped me tremendously on my journey and has made things clear for me and much more simple and tangible.
We are off the air, my dear. You have been amazing. So, and I'm going to have to blog about it so I can add, you know, your website, but I'd love to work with you on some things, okay? Because, man, I was like, let's go to Mitsubishi. Let's go to John of God. I'm going to go to John of God because I feel it's right, because Ernie's been telling me about it for a few years. I was like, yeah, I'll go, no, but I feel it's right now, so I'm going to go. But yeah, I have to go. You have to go, too. It'll be all fun. We'll have really a lot of fun, okay, because I'm all about the heart of a child, as you can see. Okay, so,
yeah, me too. Thank you.
You are wonderful. Oh, man, I can listen to you all day. I was like, oh, damn, what time is it? Or darn, sorry. Anyway. anyway, it's
this
all good.
Been wonderful. But, thank you so much for introducing me to this and inviting me to be a part of this with you. This has been great.
Oh,
thanks. It
has been wonderful. I want to do some more stuff. I'll blog about it on my site, on my page, Angel Coaches, on Facebook.com. We all have an Angel Coach or a page on Facebook. But I'll put your, you know, how to reach you. But let's do something, because I can get people, where I can get them the big old crew. We can all go to John of God or Mitsubishi. That'd be fun, huh? Or I like to go Alibaba. I like to go to that place, because when I was a kid, I used to love Alibaba and Walt Disney. I said, Mom goes, who are you going to wear, Mary? I said, Walt Disney. He's the only dude I know with the castle. It'd be a cool place to stay when you're a kid. So in Alibaba, right? You know, too, as well. So, but I was like reading that
today.
About, I was like, yeah, amazing. All right, my dear, I'm going to let you go. I want to have you on. I didn't want to say too much about your journey, because that's a journey unfolding. And I think that when you're ready, I haven't really told too many people about my own, but I get it. Okay. So I am amazed and proud to be a part of your life now. Okay. So, we have to get together for lunch. It'd be fun. Okay. You want to?
Beautiful. I'd love that. Yes.
All right, my dear. Big squeeze to you. I'll talk to you later, and have a great day, okay? And safe travels. All right?
You too. Thank you. Thank
maybe,
you so much.
Maybe fun travels. All right. I'll talk to you later. I got to call the Fortune Miracles girl. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye, sweetie.